This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is your host, Jessica Cabrera. This is exciting because we are in the final week of a series called What Should I Do? Oh my goodness, all of the decisions that we have to make in life, how do we navigate them, especially as we are following and abiding in God and not the ways of the world, yet we have all these practical decisions we have to make and it can just get a little difficult to know what to do. So I'm sharing some personal experiences of not knowing what to do and going to God about it in hopes that it will help you navigate some of your own ordinary situations through your own authentic, honest relationship with God. So I don't know if you've ever found yourself asking, what should I do? And I think that it's just one of the questions that most of us probably ask all the time. Sometimes we're deciding between something that's right and something that's wrong, and maybe we're having a struggle because we kind of want to do the wrong thing. We know it's wrong, but it's very tempting, and it could be right. If I twist it enough, then I could make it right. And you know, that does happen, but a lot of the times we're actually deciding maybe between two good things. We might be facing uncertainty. We're not really sure what's going on. We might be trying to discern what God is doing. We're not really sure how to navigate that. But recently, God's just been using these ordinary situations in my own life to reshape the way that I answer this question, what should I do? So feel free to catch up on the last two episodes at any time. If you haven't listened to them yet, you don't have to listen to them in order. So it's totally fine to listen today, even if you didn't listen to those two. But I would encourage you to listen because 2 weeks ago, I talked about a really tempting opportunity for my son to get national recognition, and it conflicted with something on our calendar, and I just found myself asking, what should we do? And then last week, I talked about having the possibility of a really cool work opportunity that was kind of enticing, and it happened at the same time that I was invited to speak for a women's ministry event. And I realized, oh my gosh, the dates are conflicting. And I was immediately asking myself and God, what in the world am I supposed to do? So it has been so cool what I've learned through this. And I hope this series is helpful to you too. So today I'm going to tell you a story about planning a vacation and all of the uncertainty that I was facing through this process. Believe it or not, God actually cares about our vacations too, and I'm going to share what happened, and you'll be able to see that God did a really cool thing, and I walked away with a much deeper appreciation for how gently and faithfully God guides us, even through ordinary decisions. And this one was kind of riddled with some other life challenges at the time. And so I'll share a little bit of that with you. One of the things that I've just really been learning through these experiences is that sometimes the question isn't necessarily so much about what should I do, but it's like, Lord, I genuinely don't know what the wise thing to do is. Will you please help me? And that's kind of where I was with this particular experience. So if you've listened to the podcast before, you have heard me share some of the struggles that my husband and I have walked through over the past year. He had to close his company, and financially, it's just been a difficult season. So there's been uncertainty surrounding his work, and when you're carrying that kind of uncertainty for a long time, it can affect more than just your bank account, you know? It can affect your mindset, it affects your energy, your focus, it can affect your willingness to dream about things like vacations or date nights, because everything just starts to feel like it should be put on hold until life feels a little stable again. And in the midst of our uncertainty, we hit a stride when things started to look a little brighter. So some opportunities at work were beginning to bubble up for David, and for the first time in a while, I could see a little bit of excitement returning to him, and I could tell that his spirits were lifted and he was just feeling a little better. And so when I brought up the idea of taking a few days off together, he actually didn't dismiss the idea. He started getting a little excited, and that got my attention. Now, I do need you to know that my husband is not a negative or downtrodden person, so don't get me wrong. He's actually a very positive person. In fact, I think he's probably the most positive and resilient person that I know. He has been through so much, and it's absolutely remarkable how he keeps his head up and he keeps pressing forward, even when he's had impossible circumstances staring him down. I don't know if you guys are aware, this is a little bit of a side note about my husband, that he came to this country at the age of 28 on a business visa from Chile, and he thought that he would be leaving a year later to go to Spain. And he did not speak a word of English. He had studied French all through school. Every single time they asked him if he was going to take English or French classes, he said, "I hate English, I'm taking French." And then when he ended up coming to the U.S. on the work visa, he was in Dallas for a Spanish-speaking business. And so he thought he was headed to Spain, and therefore he didn't pursue learning English. And when I met him, he did not speak any English at all. Well, that didn't matter, because if you know a little bit about our story, you know that by that point I was fluent in Spanish. And you can go back in the podcast and listen to some of the special edition episodes and some of the episodes where I share a lot actually about our life and about our story and how these crazy things happen that God orchestrated is really amazing. But the point is that he has been here for over 25 years now, and he did not start learning English until he was 30 years old. So everything that he knows now, he has learned by grit, determination, and just pure hard work. And he has fallen over and over again and picked himself back up and had a smile on his face. So I tell you all of that so that you know that he's genuinely a very positive person, and he really genuinely deeply trusts God. But still, even a resilient person who stays positive can be weighed down by these hard things. It has certainly happened to us. And it just kind of stinks whenever it's like the air gets sucked out of things when you just can't catch a break, you know? So I'm sure there are people listening right now that know exactly what that is like. So we were in one of those seasons. And although I knew that we needed time together, we desperately needed a break. We needed time away. The challenge was that we just weren't sure if we could really afford to do that. I tend to be very cautious with money, especially when there are other financial priorities that are kind of competing for our attention. And I knew that when he got paid for a job that he was doing, we had a number of things that would be wise to put our money towards. But in this season, I also started asking myself and God a different question. And that was, what if investing in our marriage was a wise investment too? You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I need to be thinking about that. Because we often spend money on things that we believe are important. Maybe this was one of those things. So David mentioned, this is some detail, but he mentioned that he was expecting an additional $2,000 from an upcoming job. And we agreed that if everything worked out, maybe we could use that money for a short getaway. He mentioned that he had looked and found that we could do some like last minute resort hunting. And if we could get a red eye flight and maybe a last minute deal, then we could maybe pull this off and have a pretty awesome getaway for a lower price than usual. So I started doing two things, praying and researching. And as I was searching for vacations, I just kept on praying. And these were not super sophisticated prayers. This is not like me in some Zen moment in the corner, you know, pouring my heart out to God. These are just honest prayers that I'm praying to God as I'm researching, as I'm looking. I'm saying, Lord, if this is a good decision, please make a way for us. If this isn't a good decision, please stop us. Like, just make, you know, create a stop for us. If we should spend the money this way, please give me peace because I don't want to do the wrong thing. And if the spending the money this way is not wise, I ask that you disrupt our plans, you know? And God, the truth is, I don't really know what the right thing to do is. So I need your help. I know, God, that you care about my marriage. I know that David and I need some time together, just away from everything. I know you want me to prioritize my marriage, my time with my husband. And is this a way that you want us to do that? Or should we just do that right here in our living room? I don't know. You know, and I'm just saying to God, you know, I'm telling God everything. I'm like, God, you know how nervous I am about money. You know how I want to steward money well, but I also don't want to act like money is my saving grace or my resting place. You are my resting place. So just like I need to be wise with my money, I also need to trust you with my financial outcome. So I have no idea what you want here. Are you saying that it's okay to spend this money, or is spending the money a bad idea? Am I being materialistic and privileged to use my only discretionary spending on a resort vacay with my husband? I literally don't know what the right thing to do is. I don't know. So please help. And looking back, I realized I wasn't praying for like a Cancun resort vacation or Punta Cana resort vacation, both places that we were looking at. I was honestly praying to God for wisdom. James 1:5 tells us, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." That verse doesn't promise that God's always going to answer the way that we expect, but it does promise that he welcomes our dependence on him and that we should go to him when we need wisdom. So as I prayed, I was also researching, and I used late night hours when I probably should have been going to bed to look for the right spot with the right place. You know, I mean, I don't think I've ever spent so many hours comparing resorts ever before in my life. Resort vacations are not a thing that we do. So this was just, you know, I was spending a lot of time comparing resorts, trying to learn, trying to figure out what to do and whether or not this last minute deal thing was going to be realistic. We were on a very tight timeline. Most of you listening who are planners, you're going to have major anxiety when I tell you that I was trying to plan this vacation 10 days before we were going to take it. But that was actually part of the strategy. We were looking for last minute deals and we wanted it to be super discounted. Like they're just trying to sell the final seats or the final rooms or whatever. And we were going to take advantage of that. So honestly, the timeline was another thing that I was committing to the Lord. It was very, very tempting to book something in haste because of how tight the timeline was. There was definitely a sense of, oh, if I don't get it now, it's going to go away. And if I don't get it today, the price is going to go up. So I really had to fight an uphill battle of faith whenever I was praying through whether or not we do this and when we do it and which one we commit to and all of that. And I kept on saying, okay, God, it's not logical for me to not get this yet, but I'm going to wait and I'm going to trust that you're going to provide the right thing for us at the right time, even if it is very last minute, because I just hadn't found something that I thought was the right fit. And if you've ever tried to book a vacation, you're probably a little bit like this. This is probably how it's gone for you. You compare prices, you read reviews, you look at pictures, and then every once in a while you think you found the place and then you change your mind and you almost click purchase online and then you decide to look at one more option. Well, that was definitely me. For days, I was looking and comparing and almost clicking purchase and then deciding to look for one more thing. And eventually, late at night one night, I narrowed it down to what I thought was the perfect all-inclusive resort in Cancun. And I was moments away from booking it. But I decided, you know what, I'm just going to read one more review. I'm going to go to a different review platform. And I just want to make sure that I'm fully informed here. And I found a guy that had posted on this place the same day. He had posted that morning and I was looking late at night. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can know what it's like right now. And do you know what he wrote? It said, I'm quoting this guy, beware. The beach is gone. Seaweed is piled everywhere. The water isn't clear anymore. And there's a terrible smell that has spread across the resort. Oh my goodness. I am so glad that I read this review. What if we had spent the only money that we were setting aside for this trip only to arrive to the beach getaway where there was no beach? Could you imagine? Oh my gosh. So I closed my laptop and I prayed again. Okay, God, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. We don't have any time left to make this decision. I've already taken the time off of work. I've notified my boss and my team. Our son is going to be at camp for the whole week. So this is the only time that we can do this, just the two of us. And I'm trusting that you want us to actually have some time together and some downtime. And I just need you to please show us the way. And at this point, this is feeling impossible, and I'll be honest, very discouraging. Flight prices were climbing. They were getting higher and higher, and I couldn't find a reliable resort to go to, and I was losing steam. So I'm saying to God, what am I supposed to do? You know? So I went to bed. The next morning, you guys are not going to believe this. David came to me with some extremely disappointing news. He was driving me to DC to actually drop me off at work. Sometimes we do that instead of me taking the train. He's going somewhere, so he drives me in and drops me off and then does what he needs to do. And while we're driving, he says, so you know the $2,000 that I was supposed to be receiving? And I said, yeah. He goes, I got some information and I'm not going to be receiving the $2,000 after all. It's going to only be $900. Oh my gosh. Just like that, our vacation budget disappeared. And I could see the disappointment all over his face. And frankly, on mine too. We looked at each other and basically said, well, I guess we're not going anywhere. And we were disappointed, but I was also very thankful. I mean, think about what would have happened if I had clicked purchase the night before. What if I hadn't gone back to read that one last review that had just been posted? Honestly, that man's review was a provision from God because it steered me away from making this decision. God knew that the money was not coming, but we didn't know. And so, although I was disappointed that we weren't going to have the fun vacation that we had envisioned, I was also thankful that I didn't just spend $2,000 on a beach vacay where there was no beach and money that we actually weren't going to receive. So, you know, meanwhile, there's something else kind of transpiring in the background. As I had been planning the getaway with David, I knew that there was a chance it was not going to work out. I mean, we knew that from the very beginning, and I was even praying for God to like stop it or redirect us or thwart the plans if it wasn't from God. So, but I was still thinking about taking the time off of work to spend some time in prayer, work on ministry planning, and I was just feeling very depleted and I needed some time off. So I was still exploring options for how to spend my time if we ended up not going away for the week vacation kind of thing. And so this is something I'm kind of doing on the sidelines, knowing that the beach vacay might not work out and just trying to think, okay, how am I going to spend my time if we end up not doing the resort? So I reached out to a friend of a friend. I'd never met her before, but I knew that she and her family owned a vacation rental property and it was near a beach not far away from us. And I told her, I was very honest. I was like, listen, I'm not an attractive rental client. Please don't get excited that I'm reaching out to you because I cannot afford to rent your place. But honestly, if we had rented their place for a week, it would have cost more than the Cancun trip. So I thought, you know, your house is nearby. Let me just learn a little bit more about the property. Maybe an opportunity would open up in the future. I just wanted to learn a little bit more about their property because, a friend of a friend in a house nearby, and just something that maybe one day, even like if my family were to come, maybe that could be a place that we would all go together and cost share or something. So this lady and I just started chatting, and she was so awesome. I shared with her honestly about just needing a getaway and the fact that we were going through some transition and that David and I were trying to book a vacation but hadn't made our final plans yet. So I was just like chit-chatting with her about things going on in life. And I found her just to be so, so amazing that somewhere along the way, I invited her to be a guest on this podcast. So we'll see if that happens. But it spun us into even more conversation about the ministry work that I do and how I've been aching for time away to be with the Lord. And she looked up the podcast. She looked up the JessicaCabrera.org website, and her comments back to me were just so sweet and so encouraging. And she shared with me that they were nervous about the rental market for this summer. And, you know, by the end of our little new budding friendship online, we were both praying for each other. I was praying for God to provide renters for her beach house. And I think she was probably praying for me to get the rest and the break that I needed. And we were sending each other regular updates. And it was just a fun little new friendship online. But I never would have anticipated what was about to happen. The day after I had aborted mission on reserving the Cancun last minute vacation, right? That I had been like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This review has sealed the deal for me. We're not doing this. Then the very next morning, David received this disappointing financial news that we weren't going to receive the payment that he anticipated. I get a message from this woman, and she says to me, "We have 5 days that are not booked for next week, and we want you to have them. Our gift to you. You just need to cover the cleaning fee." I just stared at my phone. I could not believe it. Are you kidding me? She's offering the house to us? And it was during the exact same days that I had taken off of work and that my son was going to be at the camp. I mean, literally, she gave me the days. And the day that she needed us to leave the house was the day my son was coming back from camp. And it was also within driving distance, so there's no flight expense or anything else. And by staying at her house, David and I would be able to have time away together. And when he came back to go to work, I would be able to stay the extra days for my own personal, like, retreat getaway, like my spiritual prayer time, ministry planning retreat. I could not believe it. And when I told David, we were like, wow, we were overwhelmed by her kindness. This is crazy. I mean, here we are. We were having the vacation after all. So we packed up our bags like a day or two later and just headed to the beach. And the funny part is, this is actually really funny. While we were there, we found this spot that looked just like Cancun. It was like this tucked away restaurant kind of resort style touristy place that they made look like a Cancun vacation. Everything from like the way that the restaurants were, the bars were, the seating, the water, everything looked like Cancun. There were palm trees. I mean, everything. It looked very, very, I don't know, tropical or something. And so we were joking around saying that we were just going to post pictures on social saying that we were in Cancun when in reality we were in Maryland. So very fun. We really had an amazing time, and God met us right there with time that my husband and I had to decompress and spend some time together away from everything, and then also time for me to have some time alone with the Lord. And I hope that through this story you can see that we were just trying to make a relatively normal decision about a relatively common thing, taking a vacation. And God cared about that enough to be very, very involved. Even when making decisions like this, God showed us that He cared for us. He cared for our marriage. He cared for our finances. He cared for David's discouraged heart. He cared for my exhaustion. He wanted us to have this vacation. He even gave me a few quiet days afterwards to take care of the ministry work that needed to be done. And by the time our trip ended, new opportunities at work had begun to develop for David, and I made really great progress in prayer and planning for ministry. And God did not have to provide a free beach house. Of course not. He doesn't necessarily work that way all the time. That's not the point of this story. The point is that God cares about these types of decisions too. You can experience His guidance in a situation where you truly don't know the wisest decision, but you seek Him out. One verse keeps on coming back to me with this. It's Psalms 37:5, and David writes, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it." I love that verse because it doesn't begin with certainty. It begins with surrender, committing your way to the Lord, entrusting your life to Him. That's what I was trying to do in this situation. I wasn't doing it perfectly. I was just being honest with God. I was saying, "Lord, this is what I think is wise or what I want to do. I don't really completely trust my own perspective. If I'm wrong, help redirect me." And He did. It wasn't a loud voice. It wasn't this big, miraculous, flashy sign. But He was, you know, it was through delaying when I made the purchase. It was that post that I read just at the right time. It was actually a disappointing change in our income that led to extraordinary generosity from another believer. So looking back, I can see God's fingerprints all over the story. And maybe you're facing a decision today. Maybe it's financial. It might be about your family or your work. Maybe you're praying, "Lord, I honestly don't know what the wise thing to do is." If this is you, I want to encourage you. Keep bringing your decisions to Him. Ask Him for wisdom. Pay attention. Be willing to be redirected. In faith, be willing to delay even when it doesn't make sense. And trust that even when you can't see what He's doing, He sees the whole picture. You may not receive a free beach house, but you can trust the heart of God who promises to walk with you, guide you, and care for you every step of the way. He is the best friend, father, provider, and caretaker you could ever have. Go to Him for everything. If you're not sure if you should wash clothes or take the dog for a walk and you feel stuck and in analysis paralysis over a mundane decision, take it to God. Trust Him with that. It's not so much about making the right choice as it is acknowledging Him in all you do. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Remember that Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Abiding means that He's your source of life. Nothing happens in your life without His participation. So take everything to Him and be unashamed for it. I think people generally struggle with this because you can clearly do all of these things without praying or asking God, right? I mean, you can wash the clothes and walk the dog and go to work and go on a vacation, all without prayer or a conversation with God. So you might ask, "Well, what's the point? Why do I even pray?" The point is that life with Him is on, I mean, it's like on spiritual turbocharge. Taking everything to Him is a way to acknowledge that life is not only what meets the eye. There is a spiritual world that we can't see with our eyes, and it's governed by a God who cares deeply for you. He is in everything. He knows things that we don't know. He sees things that we don't see, and He has plans that we're unaware of, and He can make literally anything happen. So take the ordinary things to Him. Let Him be part of everything you do. Trust Him with every little thing. And watch Him turn your ordinary things into blessings. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope to have you back on the next Faith Conversations podcast. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.